What's going on, Sky Town? Welcome to another edition of the Skyhook Podcast. My name is James K. With me on the mic, as always, is Chris Pennant. Chris, how are we feeling tonight, man? We haven't, it's been a couple weeks since you and I had a chance to talk, spoke with Annie Costable last time about the Julie Alleman trade. It's been a while, man. How you doing?
Well, I'm good now. You sound so excited, so I have to be good, you know?
I'm coming off of vacation, man, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Shout out to that. Always shout out to vacation. I wish we had more time to talk about that since you went to the Bay of the Yay area.
Woo!
You know what I'm saying? But I'm feeling good. Even though taxes are looming, I'll say that much. Everybody get your taxes done. Hit up our man, Maxwell Fritz, friend of the show. If you need any business advice or, we don't bombard his mailbox. Hit him on Twitter and then go to a professional.
I'm definitely going to hit him up just because I have been putting that off for so long. My whole focus is on this team, Chris. My entire focus is on the WNBA and the Chicago Sky. And we got some great news for Skytown while I was on. Oh my God. I was so stressed on vacation when I got this news, but Courtney Vandersloot is returning to the Sky on a 1-year deal, according to Michelle Vopel of ESPN. Chris, were you surprised that Courtney is coming back to the Sky? And just because of what we've heard over the last couple of weeks and all of the tension that came out of the WNBA free agency special and not really hearing anything after that, there was a little bit of silence after the free agency special. But then Courtney Vandersloot, again, I think it was announced on, I want to say February 9th. I got to go back and check that. But that she is returning for at least one more run at the title. So were you surprised that Courtney decided to forego UMMC's offer to sit out the 2022 season?
A little bit. Just because of the news that we heard that the Sky made a lowball offer, which meant to me one of two things. They were really trying to fiddle with the salary cap and what they could do, the plans that James Wade had, which we saw come to fruition in terms of signing Emma Mieseman, picking up Julie Alleman, bringing in Ann Waters, which doesn't impact the salary cap, but impacts the overall team budget. And the fact that it got to that point of being contentious, I think even with the relationship that we have seen James Wade and Courtney Vandersloot to have, it was surprising that she did end up coming back on a 1-year deal. It's a 1-year deal with all the repercussions that that has in the upcoming offseason 2023, but she did return to the team. That being said, even with the history, the precedent for this, Diana Taurasi sitting out in 2014 or 15 with the same or a similar offer from her club in Russia, I don't think we would have seen Sloot sit. Like you said in one of our previous shows, she has been looking very good playing for Yekaterinburg after her foot injury that she sustained in the playoffs. So, you know, rest and recuperation from that sense wouldn't really be a primary need for her, I would think. So just the fact that it got to that point, I think, was the surprise and probably really the what I was thinking about. Because if you get to that point with somebody that you trust, even in a business like this is, it's tough to come back from that. It's tough to come back and say, okay, this is worth my while now. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what that'll do for the season. These are all professionals. Again, this is a professional sport business more so. And these are professionals engaging within it. So when the bell's rung, Courtney Vandersloot's going to go out and play. But there's always the things to think about, most notably the disease of Moore coming with the Sky coming off a championship and what that'll mean for their team and their personnel. What will it mean for Sloot? What will it mean for her in terms of what more actually is? Is it more touches? Is it more time off? Is it more time, not having to carry the offense? Is it more rest during games? Is it more time on the floor? You know, I think we have to wait and see on that. But I was a bit surprised, but not wholly.
I don't think Courtney Vandersloot's necessarily the person that the disease of Moore infects to the point that a team will break down like the way that we've talked about in previous episodes. And I still stick with the point, and I say this not having talked to the agents or even the Sky about this. I really do think the whole wildly disrespectful offer thing was more of a business tactic than anything else. And I wouldn't be surprised if Courtney would have taken UMMC's offer to not play this season just because she has that chronic foot injury. And, you know, she really had to take some time off in Russia to rehab it and get back to the version of her that we're all familiar with. So in terms of the disease of Moore, I really don't think that it really applies to Courtney in this situation. She is going to benefit having Julie Alleman, who is the ultimate backup point guard the Sky have been looking for since James Wade became the head coach and general manager of the Chicago Sky. So there was one point where she was averaging close to 32 minutes per game. And based on that foot injury that she has, and she looks great overseas. I caught a couple of games and she does look really good. Does look like she looks like her normal self. But if you can get Courtney Vandersloot down to like 28 to 30 minutes a game, and you can rely on Julie Alleman for long periods of time, and we know that, I mean, she's a capable point guard in this league, even though defensively in 2020, it felt like she was a little bit targeted at times, but we know how she looks offensively. And that to me is going to really help Courtney next season. So when we look at Courtney Vandersloot coming back to the Sky, I think we can assume that it was important for her to I don't know how to phrase this. Again, I'm not reporting this, but I do think that after she recruited Candace Parker to come to Chicago, that there was probably some obligation for her and Allie Quigley, who hasn't announced her return yet, but I do kind of expect that to come kind of soon. I've kind of felt like they probably were going to come back for this season just because of that. So I think that kind of like that probably lingered a little bit heading into this whole free agency period. Like, okay, are you really going to pass up a chance to win another championship with Candace Parker? So, and be the third team in WNBA history to go back to back. I mean, I think if we're just going off this idea of the disease of Moore, I mean, I think it's more about playing the same role that you played last year, maybe play a little bit less minutes, but going after that other championship. Like, the disease of Moore can be good in this circumstance, if that makes sense.
That's an interesting take on it. I hate saying take. That's an interesting point of view. I'll say that. And when I say the disease of Moore, I think it affects everybody in different ways, but it's always, I trust Pat Riley on this. It's always going to be there because you aim for the highest level in your field as a professional athlete. And presumably that's winning a championship. If you have a team that's set up in a certain way, you can probably set yourself on an initial goal of maybe winning two or three with that core. But like you say, the Sky are in a position that few teams have really faced with any conceivable possibility, and that's winning a second championship in a row. And you're right, there is some obligation there, I think. As a professional, again, as Courtney got Candace Parker here, Candace signed a 2-year deal, and there's no sign that she was going to like try to restructure or option out of the last year somehow, some way. Yeah. So you want to keep that person there because Candace came with the expectation that Courtney would be there running the offense, feeding her the ball, taking pressure off her in that sense. And, I don't want to lump Courtney and Allie together to this point, mm-hmm. even though we know them as Vander Quigs, we know them as the Chicago power couple, you know what I'm saying? Because there's a chance, however slim, that Allie might say, I don't want to play this year, or I think she would sooner say, I don't want to play this year than I want to play somewhere else. But there's a chance of it. But when I say disease of Moore, I think it would be what we talked about last season, that not only did Allie have to play longer stretches or more, have more game time than was expected, we expected at the outset, but Sloot at times had to play more than expected because the Sky lost so much when either of them was off the floor. And so I think if there's anything that's going to come up there, it's going to be just you play not only your off-season ball, but you're playing postseason ball, and that time adds up. So I think if there was anything that would come up, it would be, hey, I want this night off. I want a little less time on the floor. You know, can we make sure that we have somebody who comes in to pick up where I leave off, so we're not like, I'm getting 3 minutes on the bench rather than 2 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be important for the next thing that we're going to be talking about with these training camp contracts that this guy just signed. I mean, they signed three players all again. And also at the top of this, it's important to note that just because players signed a training camp contract, that it doesn't count towards the cap until the season starts and they're still on the roster. But the Sky did sign Kaiser Gondrzak, Kamiya Smalls, and Rebecca Gardner to training camp contracts, all worth the minimum. And that's the lower minimum. I think it's 0 to 2 years. So it's for that $60,141 or whatever it is. But I do think that you're right. I mean, the Sky are going to have to figure things out, at least at the beginning of the season, because of overseas commitments. And that's, someone told me, it's like, look, that's like half the league coming back from overseas, and teams are just going to have to figure it out as they always do at the start of the season. But the Sky did bring in these three players to get a look at in training camp. Chris, I'm curious, is there any significance behind these moves? Do you see any of these players? I don't really know much about Kamiya Smalls and Rebecca Gardner. I know a lot of people are excited about Smalls, but when you look at those three, is there anyone that, do they tickle your interest? Do you think that they're going to play a significant role, or even challenge someone like Dana Evans for that backup point guard spot down the road? Personally, I don't see it with Smalls or Gondrzak personally, but I'm curious to hear what your take is on this, even though you just said that you hate the word take.
Well, that's why you said it, obviously, to get me upset.
That's what I try to do, man. It's my number one goal at this pod.
Well, Kamiya Smalls, looking at her college statistics, she was consistently in one of near the top of the percentiles. Thank you to her hoop stats, as always. Near the top of the percentile, especially offensively, throughout her career. And she's a shooter, point blank period, 38% from three, and shot at a pretty good clip in the seven games that she had with the Fever in 2020. So that's worth a look. I think all these training camp contracts are players who are worth a look. Mm-hmm. See how they can stack up in the WNBA. And there's nothing, like you said, those contracts aren't guaranteed unless they break camp with the team. So you're bringing in players who you think have a shot, or who you want to have, or you want to have those players push your core players. And there's always international competition to look at over the season. So these are players that you might bring back on short-term contracts to fill a spot. I like what Smalls could possibly bring to the table, even in a limited sample size. She hit all of her free throws, all two of them, and she hit 7 of 12 threes. It's for the Fever, and the Fever have been, over the last few years, throwing things at the wall to see what sticks. But there have been other players who, you know, get missed out on, and I don't think there's any harm in bringing them on. Kaiser Gondrzak is somebody who I think is the excitement, just because I want to see how she can rebound from a topsy-turvy couple of seasons. And I'm wildly underselling it when you lose a family member the way that she did and have to take time off, partially because of that. Topsy-turvy is putting it very mildly. She was somebody who was so well thought of coming out of a Power 5 conference school. Things had to really go up, you know, upended in her life for her to want to walk away from the game for some period of time. So that's someone I'm looking at, because we talked about her as a potential draft pick of that draft for Chicago.
I mean, she was someone that I was super high on heading into last year's draft. I didn't expect her to go number four overall in the draft last year. There were people that projected her closer to the third round, which made me feel a little bit hopeful that the Sky, who didn't have a second round pick last year, could get her in the third round potentially. But she goes number four. And honestly, she would fit like theoretically, from the way that James Wade likes to run his offense, she does fit what he has going on there. And realistically, they have one spot to fill. And Gondrzek has experience playing both point guard and shooting guard. That's what, and she played both of those positions at West Virginia. And her last season, I mean, she moved over to point guard so that she can kind of show off her ability as a facilitator. And so she's someone that shoots the three ball really well. The Sky are going to need to give Allie Quigley some time off, like you said before. And if you have someone like Kaiser Gondrzek, who, again, she maybe wasn't worth a top four pick. Sorry, Kaiser. But I do think that she is someone that has the ability to, like, her shot making is enough that maybe she could hang around in the W. But you're right, Chris. She's also at this point where she has to take on a training camp contract in order to make a roster right now. And she's going to have to make the most of this opportunity in training camp. I don't think she's going to, like, overtake Dana Evans by any means. You can't look at what Dana did last year in the circumstances in which she came in and where she really, I wouldn't maybe thrive as hyperbole, but she did do very well for someone that came in halfway through the season, learned the offense, and then became kind of their go-to backup point guard for extended period of time. So I don't think Kaiser Gondrzek is going to jump Dana Evans, but I'm more intrigued by her as a two than I am her running an offense necessarily. But it does help in a James Wade offense that you can do, again, run the point or play off the ball. And I think that really does help Kaiser going into training camp when James Wade is going to have to make some tough decisions regarding not just Kaiser Gondrzek, but these other two training camp contracts that he has with Smalls and Gardner.
You know, the other point is that you would have thought with her going to Indiana, even as they were in just a kind of what are you doing exactly type situation, you would have thought that the proximity would help. But Chicago is only about 2 hours from Benton Harbor. So that's a situation where conceivably family can come see her play. She can go see family when there's time available. And that's really, really important for athletes anywhere. But for an athlete coming out of the situation that she's been in, you want to be close to family at points like that, where if you need help, they're not across the country. They're not around the world. They're a 2-hour drive. So that's an important point too.
Definitely. And you really can't underestimate that, obviously. I mean, again, preparing for this, I was just more thinking about the on-court fit, but you're definitely right. And I'm glad you brought that up. I wonder what this guy do at this last spot though, if they want bringing in Gardner theoretically, just as a wing that can score. And she hasn't been in the league since, I believe, 2012, but I'll have to go back and look at that. But she's someone that I do think going after another wing or someone that could play the two and the three potentially to be able to alleviate some of the pressure off of Ka and Ali, I think is going to be really important for the Sky to find. But all of these options are kind of evaporating. We're at this point in the WNBA offseason where if you have a hole, it's going to be a little bit harder to find a replacement for, or it's going to be harder to fill a need, I should say. And this is kind of where we're at here. I know, again, there's a ton of players that deserve a shot at, like, that deserve to be on a WNBA roster. But realistically, we just go through all these free agents. There's just not a lot that can give you 10, 15 minutes a game on the wing right now that are going to make a huge impact for your team. Again, the Sky are really working. I think that even though we haven't heard the announcement about Kalia Copper's contract, Courtney Vandersloot's contract, and what I believe Allie Quigley is coming back at this point. Her and Sloot are on vacation right now. I really do think they're just holding off on making that announcement until after they're done with their vacation. That's just complete speculation.
Yeah, very much their right.
Which, exactly. And there's no pressure for them or the Sky, really. Look at the free agency list and tell me who is an obvious replacement for Allie Quigley. There really isn't one. And the you can't really go out and spend $100,000 or $120,000 on any of the remaining free agents for that to make any sense. So maybe Lexi Brown would come back potentially. Maybe she accepts the qualifying offer. But again, I do think that Allie Quigley comes back and there's only going to be one spot remaining for the Sky to fill with. And I'm going to do this off the top of my head, but it's going to be Sloot, Allie, Ka, Azaray, Candace Parker, Emma Mieseman, Ruthie Heber, Dana Evans, Crystal Bradford, Julie Allman, and whoever fills in that last spot at just over $60,000. So to me, it's going to be really hard for any of those three players who had training camp contracts to come in and make the roster. But at the same time, anything can happen. Out of all those three players, I see Kaiser Gondrzak being the one that comes out on top if they were to sign her for this upcoming season. But Chris, we have to pour out our drinks a little bit here because a Stu Dufall, it was announced today that she will sit out the 2022 WNBA season. And this is a bummer just because she's one of those players that you and I grew really accustomed to covering and talking about since after that magical 2019 end of the season and postseason run for the Sky. But yeah, Stu Dufall is not going to be in a WNBA uniform. Any astute thoughts before we go to the free agency grades?
Yeah, man. Success to Stu. Like, oh, I forgot how to say success. I just screwed this up the other day and I cannot remember how to say success in Spanish. So for real, success to Stu. She got a silver medal with Spain in 2016. She's won a WNBA championship. She's been successful overseas. She only got married, I think, a year or two ago. So, yeah, man, sometimes you just got to take time to yourself. And she's always struck me from what I've seen on her Instagram and what she posts on Twitter as a person who does not need basketball to survive. And even if sometimes you need to rest and recuperate, to take a year off and then come back to really thrive at the game. This is something that I think is cool just because she doesn't need to go and play and put in a subpar season. And I love it because another person who is close with James Wade, who has that relationship where he was like, yo, I'm going to bring you back. Even, you know, I had to make this move to go to get Azaray Stevens, but you could always kind of see it's like somebody who would have fit, especially just languishing on the bench in Dallas. So I think it's dope for Stu that she got to come back to Chicago, got to make more memories with a team and a franchise that really, really enjoyed watching her play. And now she's going to take some time off. I think she'll come back next year, but I'm 50-50 on that. I could just as likely see her saying, hey, basketball has been good to me. I'm going to play overseas for the rest of my career. And that'll be it.
There's only so many spots on all of these rosters. So it did make sense that once we got to this point in free agency where the cap has really been swallowed up by all these new additions and players that have re-signed, that Stu wasn't going to crack a WNBA roster with the amount of money that she would make if she were to play this season, which is just over $72,000. So yeah, it's a bummer. She had her struggles last season, especially from beyond the arc. She wasn't the same shooter that we saw from her in 2019 when she had a really good 5-week stretch with the Sky. I think she shot over 36, 37% from three or something like that. And yeah, it's too bad. I really like Stu. She's such a funny person too. If he's on social media, she's such a hoot, but yeah, it's a bummer. I know that James Wade and her are close, like you said, and she was someone that when she came back on that veteran minimum, James Wade said she's a lock to make the roster. And he didn't really say that about some of these other players. Like, even, you know, someone like Natasha Mack, a lot of people were excited about. I was super excited about, I'll be honest. And, you know, Natasha Mack wasn't quite ready, but Stu Dufall was someone that James Wade could trust. And when you talk about going after a championship, needing that veteran leadership, needing that veteran experience, Stu was going to fit the bill. And she was important in that Connecticut series and being an extra body and being physical with some of these, you know, taller centers in this league. So it's a bummer. I think people are excited that Ruthie Hebert is going to get more of an opportunity to play, which the Sky really do like Ruthie Hebert. I know that she didn't play a lot last season and she just needed to develop a little more. So I think this is the time in which Ruthie Hebert is going to get a little bit more tick compared to what we saw from her in the second half of last season, where James Wade did opt to go with a Stu Dufall a little bit more than Ruthie Hebert in those situations as the fourth center. So yeah, it's going to be a bummer not to see a Stu out there just because we like her, but it did kind of make sense at this point in the offseason that her market kind of dried up and that she's going to be making $111,000 this year from the Dallas Wings. So might as well sit back and relax and take in the money that they just threw away and burned into the furnace. So, so Chris, we are at this point where we kind of understand what the Sky's roster is going to be. And also, I just want to point out, I'm not reporting that Allie Quigley is coming back. I'm just saying that just reading the tea leaves, I do think she is coming back. But now that let's just assume that Allie Quigley is coming back to the Sky. What would you give the grade for this team after their offseason where they've been able to bring in a few new faces and retain the players that they needed to retain?
Oh, I'm not a teacher, and that's going to show here because I'm going to give them B-.
What?
And
let's hear it.
Only because I think there's some uncertainty. Yes, the Emma Meisman move is huge. I think I and other people had wanted her for this team for a few seasons now. Yes, bringing back Courtney Vandersloot is big. That's a must with Candace Parker. That's almost Emma Meisman's a player who can create their own shot, but Courtney Vandersloot makes life so much easier on everybody that a player like Emma would want her around too. And picking up Julie Allamond is a big move too. But I think if you're grading in terms of the room, there's other teams who made some big splashes, New York in particular, not just because they got Steph, but because they are conceivably freeing up room for the future. And I think the B-, or I'll go with a B just because of the shock of the initial Courtney decision, where it became a decision rather than a foregone conclusion. And I still think that, you know, people are people. They're not robots. So there's going to be some effect as to the season. It's not going to, you know, it's not like last year with sunshine and roses, but it's going to have some effect. You know, this isn't the unbreakable bond that we had come to believe and expect between Sloot and James Wade. And I don't know where it's going to manifest. I don't know how it's going to manifest. I don't know if it'll manifest, but it kind of casts a shadow over their relationship for the future. If everything's good in the future, great. But I think something like that, even if wildly disrespectful, was a camp tactic, that's still something that her camp put out in public rather than handling behind closed doors. And it's always it's something that's bugged me since it came out. So that's why I'm going with a B. I'll say B, not a B minus.
B minus, man. Oh my God. That seemed so. What would they have? So just the way they treated Courtney, that's where the B comes from. Like, what would they have to have done this offseason to get an A, out of curiosity?
I think add a tenured wing, like we talked about. Raquana Williams was a name that I was thinking about, even though it's not necessarily a name that other people, Raquana's not a player that people wanted necessarily because of her past with domestic violence. I took that into account too. I also was wondering how she would fit on a team that can always use more defense rather than more, you know, I think defense is always more of a priority at this point for them rather than offense. But that was a name that I was looking at, somebody who could really help either shooting, coming off the bench or starting if need be. And if they had added somebody like that, along with the moves that they made, maybe in place of Julie Allamond, if they'd added a wing player, then I think that would have pumped it up to A-.
So I'm going to give them an A because, one, again, the obvious point to make here, they retain one of the greatest point guards in WNBA history, in NBA, and across basketball. They retain that player, someone who's been one of the most important players in the WNBA over the last 5 years. They, again, getting Emma Meisman to replace Steph Dolson when there weren't a lot of options to replace someone like Steph and her stretchability, just to go out and get Emma Mieseman, I think, is a really huge win for the Sky, even though they are different players. But they did get that wing depth, for one thing. They did get Crystal Bradford, who I know I'm a little bit higher on her than you are, but I think that she's someone at $62,000, I believe it is, because I think she did get a little bit more than the training camp offer that was reported earlier. I think that she's someone that can relieve Ka a little bit and really put some pressure at just being 6'1". She's someone that can switch on defense. She can guard 3 through 5. At times, I thought she did pretty well guarding some of her opponents' backcourt. So, and then there's Kalia Copper, who didn't just sign a 1-year deal with the Sky. She signed a multi-year deal, which to me, if you're a Sky fan, you have to be thrilled that you have a foundation past this year by being able to retain Kalia Copper past 2022. And you have a face of the franchise. She's arguably the face of the franchise, but I think you could point to Allie and Courtney as well with this. But again, you get Crystal Bradford. You finally get the backup point guard that you've been looking for years in Julie Alleman. And Julie Alleman's someone that could come in and start in the WNBA right now. And you get that player for $61,000 when the alternative, again, was going to probably bring back someone like Lexi Brown and maybe try to – maybe you're not able to sign an Emma Mieseman if you have to – if Lexi Brown just accepts the qualifying offer and you have to pay her. Again, I think it's like $72,000, $73,000. So when you look at how this ended up for the Sky, where – every single player on this roster knows what their role is, which is something we can't say about last year, with Diamond believing that she's a starter, and understandably so based on what she did in 2019. And Steph Dolson, probably was kind of in the same boat, right? She's someone that played so much for that team for so long. And then Ezra Stevens and Candace Parker are the ones that are really, towards the end of the season, are the ones that are taking up those minutes in the front court. Now everybody on this team knows what their role is. There's going to be opportunity for everyone on this roster to get minutes. I just think that this was such a home run offseason for the Sky, and I don't want to sound like a homer, but it really does seem like this was the best case scenario for this team, being able to retain their entire starting lineup from last season and being able to retool this roster, which they needed to do, obviously, because they were 16-16 last year, and that happened for a lot of reasons, but they needed to retool. And I think they, given the limited cap space that they had, this was probably one of the best case scenarios to come out of this free agency for SkyTown.
The only reason I'm going to disagree, and I think you're right on with a lot of your points that I neglected to point out. I think the home run, if you're giving them an A grade, they signed Courtney without any noise. Because as you've said, she is one of the best point guards in basketball. And she is still the engine, the heart of the team. And you can't function without your heart. And you can't function well without your heart functioning well. So that's the one thing. I hope I'm overblowing. I really am. Mm-hmm. But in a sport where we tend, and I'm not saying you're doing this as well, in a sport now in the sports world where we tend to look at numbers, first of all, team fit, talent, how this is going to mesh well, we overlook sometimes the part of it that's not tangible, namely emotions, feelings, what's going on inside a person's head. And that's one thing that I try to think about when we get into situations like this, when we're talking about what's going on with a team. And again, these are professional athletes, professional being the operative word. These are professional coaches, professionals being the operative word. But there's something that, you know, after you go through something like that, you know, it's not just about the X's and O's after that. So that's the one thing that worries me. Everything else that you put on, getting Julie Alleman for a premium price, and a premium is as in, damn, that's a good-ass price, fantastic. Signing Ka to a multi-year deal rather than the one-year core qualifying offer, also very fantastic. That keeps things together for a long time to come and puts her as the key piece of the franchise moving forward. However, I think the Courtney signing took so much time that it became a focus, not just for the team itself, but for the fans, for the league in general. And that was the tough part.
It definitely was a tough part. But I also want to point out that Courtney's not the one on the phone with James Wayne negotiating her contract, right? She's hearing everything through her agent, and her and James have such a strong relationship even before all this went down that I just have a hard time imagining that this is going to be really tough for them to overcome. And the main focus of the season is not going to be on winning a WNBA championship. I think that these are two really competitive people who are passionate about what they do. And James Wade is, I mean, he's just doing his job too, of like figuring out how all this is going to work. And I'm going to say it again. The number one thing Courtney Vandersloot said that was the top of her priorities was playing with top end talent. And the way that you can do, the only way that you can get high end talent is by paying that talent. And I think she ends up getting like $200,000, honestly. Like, I do think that's what she ends up getting, that she does end up getting the max. But for James Wade to just talk with her agent to just get a feel for where she's at, does she want to take that $10,000 less or something to be able to bring in someone else like a Raquana Williams? You know, to me, I think there was just so many possibilities with this, and I'm not reporting it either. I just don't know how much I really believed Holly Rowe's report on that ESPN special, and I'm not trying to chip away at Holly's journalistic integrity by any means. I just don't, based on the things that I've also heard, I don't really think that, I just don't believe that to be the entire truth, let's just say. Like, wildly disrespectful. It's just been bothering me for since that came out on February 1st or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I get what you mean too. I mean, I just don't think I could raise, like, drop this guy down to a B after, again, they've retained their starting lineup from the playoffs and then just retooled in a way that I didn't think they were going to be able to do personally. I really thought that this was going to be such a challenge for James Wade, and the way that him and the front office, want to give them credit too, were able to put this together and keep the best parts and get rid of the worst parts in terms of, not the worst parts, but figure out everything else after keeping everything together. This to me is just one of the best case scenarios. It's just hard for me to not give this team an A. And I was prepared, if they weren't going to retain Courtney or Ali, that I was going to bump them down to closer to a C, because there's no real options for Julie Alleman is great. But she's not Courtney Vandersloot. And there's no obvious replacements for Ali Quigley. Like, we're really talking about like Lexi Brown as coming in to be able to really replace someone like Ali Quigley, or maybe try to train a trade for someone like Marine Johannes, whose name I just completely botched there. But besides that, there's just not really any obvious fits on the trade market. There's not really, maybe there's people I'm missing overseas that, but besides that, I don't know. This is just such a huge win for the Sky. And I really do think they're going to head into the season as the WNBA or the favorites to win the WNBA title personally, because I'm not as sold on Phoenix, but we can talk about all that stuff too in a later pod. But do you want to respond to that, or do you want to wrap this up with some of our final thoughts?
I want to say, never change, man. You are the optimist, as always, of our pod, of our podcast. And that's not a knock at all, because you see these things from a very analytical standpoint. But I do think that you have, you're looking at the best case scenario, and I would love to too. I just see what could, I'm always the first to see what could possibly hinder or go wrong. And, you know, we haven't got a contract finalized for Ali yet. So as much as I want that, need that has to happen for them to be the favorites, it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. So I want that to be set in stone before I call them the predictive favorite. Because as some salty Phoenix fans reminded us, and I did not forget, the Sky beat a shorthanded squad. They really missed Kia Nurse. And, I mean, she'll still be recovering somewhat from that injury. But with what Phoenix has been able to do over the offseason, they're going to be a better team. And they were a quality team last year, too. So there's other teams who are going to be gunning. And the other thing about the disease of Moore, and what you're just talking about post-championship seasons, is that the target is firmly on your back. You know, the Sky were favorites to be championship contenders last year. And then the target really fell off once the season went through and they got to that 500 record. So even though they had to run the gauntlet in the postseason, they weren't the ones who had to fight off the challengers going up the mountain. That was Las Vegas and Connecticut. Now they're the ones at the top of the mountain and everybody's trying to knock them off. So these games are going to be tougher than last season. They had players who were trying out to prove it, but they weren't the ones who everybody was trying to, you know, who everybody was trying to get down. Everybody was trying to get down with. I think a lot of teams are going to be really coming up.
Yeah.
When they come into Wintrust, either because the Sky beat them when they thought that they shouldn't have, or because they're trying to test things out. All those Dallas games that were always fun to watch the last couple of seasons are going to be even tougher this year because Dallas is really coalescing finally into a nice squad. So I'm excited to see those. I'm excited to see those Phoenix games. Always excited to see Las Vegas and now Los Angeles with Liz and Jordan Canada going there. There's been a lot of shifts in the balance of power. And, man, not to diverge from the topic, but I don't know when the last time we saw this balanced of a WNBA.
It's going to be a really exciting 2022 season. I really could see a ton of teams coming out on top. So we'll save that for a different podcast. But, Chris, glad we got a chance to catch up and – Let's do another one of these soon. We're going to try to do some league-wide coverage this year, doing some episodes just focused on some of, you know, just kind of looking at the league as a whole. So we're not turning this into a WNBA podcast where we just look at the entire league, but we do want to give some love to some of the storylines that are happening around the league as well this upcoming season. So this was great. And yeah, man, great catching up with you.
As always, man. Stu, éxito y nada menos. Success and nothing less.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Skyhook Podcast. If you could help us out and rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts, we would greatly appreciate it. Helps us out as we try to find sponsors for the show. So if you had a few minutes to do that, we would greatly appreciate it. And if you want to contact us, you can always do so by emailing our mailbag, which is the skyhookmailbag@gmail.com. One more time, that is the skyhookmailbag@gmail.com. And if you want to find us on social media, you can always do so by going to the episode description and finding all that great information there. Thanks for tuning into this show, and until next time.